International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Hello, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And today, of course, I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor. I know you love it, from beautiful, magnificent, awesome Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful that you have joined me today from all over the world. Let me see. This week, I've received emails from listeners in Australia, in South America, Central America. What about all of my listeners out there who live in Canada and, of course, in Europe? So grateful that you've joined me. And it is a setup, as I say every week, because actually the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can receive the strategies, the insight, the revelation that you possibly been praying for. You know, I say that all it takes is one word from God, one revelation, one shift in your thinking, one idea to drastically change your life. So, wow, I'm excited that you're here today. Well, I hope that you've had a great week. It is certainly a beautiful day here in Atlanta. It is summertime. I'm looking out of my window right now. It is a beautiful blue sky, about 94 degrees. Yes, it is hot. And I've really had a great week. I am 7 days away from my conference. So, you know, I am really intimately involved with the details of that and really excited about what's going to happen in the lives of the people who are coming. So I've been really busy with that, really involved with that. And today on my show, I have my mentor, James E. Powers, and I have been asking him for 6 years. That's right, folks. 6 years to be a guest on my show. And he said, Constance, it wasn't time. And I honor that, as he's been coaching me and mentoring me for 25 years. That's right. So I know what you are in store for. James E. Powers is going to be talking about the power of transformational thinking. How many of you know that you need to change your thinking? Let me see your hands. Okay, so you're in for a real treat today. Also, remember to visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have all kinds of goodies and tools there that I have designed just with you in mind. For example, my affirmations. I have affirmation MP3s that you can download to your iPhone and just listen every day in the areas of success, prosperity, self-love, attracting love. Additionally, I have 2 books on Amazon and on my website, Secrets of Success. That's my 25 years of clinical counseling, coaching, and human behavior experience, and it's really powerful. If you just bought the book, downloaded it, and did part one, which all of you have heard many of my clients talk about, it would drastically change your life. And my second book is How to Attract Genuine Love into Your Life. And so, would love for you to begin shifting your thinking, and everything that I design is really to help to empower you to begin to change your life. That's what I was trying to get. I'm so excited. I'm talking too fast. So, of course, that's fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And, of course, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just let me know how this show is changing your life. So, we're going to go to these quick commercials, and I'm going to be right back with my very special guest. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Come join us on Facebook for your daily dose of inspiration and action that reveals the secret within you. You can find us at facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back, and I hope you enjoyed those wonderful commercials, and I'm really excited about my guest today. And I know you say, Constance, you're always excited, and guess what? You are exactly right. But today, I am so proud to be introducing my mentor, James E. Powers. And I've been trying to get him to come on the show for 6 years, and he said no, it just was not the time. And so I asked him again, and he said now is the time. So James E. Powers has over 40 years of varied experiences, including a social worker, counselor. He's done a lot of that with me, pastoral care, and life transformation training. He and his wife, Ethel, I just really adore, and I'm so grateful to God for them being a gift to me in my life. And your life will never be the same again after listening to him. So, James E. Powers, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, and I waited because things was going so well. Why interrupt a good thing? So I'm here to join you and congratulate you on these 6+ years of the Think, Believe, and Manifest show. So it's a pleasure to be here and to join you with your wonderful audience.
Well, you know, people always ask me about, you know, my success and where I am. And, you know, sometimes people don't know the entire story. And one thing that I just want to say publicly is to thank you for being there for me all of these years. You've been my counselor. As a matter of fact, you helped me transition from the school system to consulting. You counseled me in relationships. You've been there for my mother's death, my sister. You've given me direction when I needed just help, when I felt hopeless. You just pointed me in the right direction, and specifically the show. I feel that the show was birthed out of a conversation that you and I had together. I had just come out of, at that time, what I felt was a devastating relationship. Now I see things differently, but I thought I was getting married, had big plans. That didn't happen, and the way it went down was extremely difficult. I probably was depressed, and then I fell and broke my ankle, and I was sitting in my car. I can see it in my mind right now, at the pharmacy waiting to go in. I had just left the doctor's office, and he had just informed me that my ankle was broken and that I would need to wear a cast for 4 months could not drive, could not put any weight on it. And I sat in my car with tears rolling down my face, feeling hopeless, feeling alone. And I called you and I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I don't remember what you said, but whatever it was, I know you said, yes, you can, but I didn't feel it. But something rose up on the inside of me that said, God is greater. And I hobbled in to the pharmacy to get my medicine, and I drove to my new house, which I had just moved into, by the way, and boxes all over the place. But something in me, it was the Spirit of God within me, and then your words just resonated with me that gave me the strength. And from that place of adversity, this show was birthed. And I just want to say thank you so much for those words.
Well, one of the things you said something way deep down inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to suggest to you that that something was the storehouse of all the right thinking you'd done, all the faith that you had accumulated, and adversity puts pressure on what's in us, and what came out of what was in that transformed life was, yes, I can do this. So yes, you have a practicing, full-time, extraordinary example of manifesting what you say.
Thank you. And you introduced me to the metaphysical world. You told me, you said, Constance, you got to read The Science of the Mind. And whatever he shares with me, I do it. I mean, he knows that. I mean, if he says, you know, go and get this kind of phone, I'm going to go get it. Mm-hmm. And that book changed me, and it changed my thinking. It expanded my consciousness. It changed my view of God and spirituality. And I just want to say thank you so much for that.
And it was because of what you had as a foundation, a spiritual foundation of faith. You have always been a woman who spoke faith, talk faith, live faith. And there were people who I would have referred this book to, but they would take that and that would be all that they would have had. You use that to be an asset to what was already in you. So that's the reason you got that referral, and maybe someone else didn't get it. I just knew what was in you, and I'm grateful that it's been a benefit to you.
Yeah. Well, so you finally on the show, and we're going to be talking about the power of transformational thinking. You know, thinking is one of my favorite subjects. Right thinking, true, pure, and positive. So why did you choose that subject? That's interesting.
Well, I was using that title in a way to demonstrate the necessity of having a renewed mind in order for a person to experience a transformed life, which produces transformed thinking. And I'm here to say that thinking is something that everybody thinks they do well and probably do it very well. It all depends on the direction in which that thinking is leading them. And I'd say up front here, because we know that the things we think, they become the things that we are, or the people that we are. So yes, that's why I chose it, because I wanted to not just talk about thinking. What happens when a person has a transformed life, and that transformed life is allowing the Spirit to flow through them as the primary source of their thinking, then they will be a different kind of thinker.
So would you say that change begins first in our thinking?
Yes, I would say not only it begins in our thinking, the origin of what we are is in our thinking. But according to what I'm saying here, it is says, as I would use one, because my background and a lot of my reference thing is Christian. And one of the scriptures says, he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it says, it didn't say the renewing of your brain, it's the renewing of your mind. So the brain is obviously, in some reference, an instrument of the mind. And if the mind is not renewed and renovated, then we can't become the people we are. So change start in this process, like from the caterpillar to the butterfly. That's a process. So we need to know at this point, for your audience who already know this, I'm sure, that the nature of change begins when we renew our mind. And in the renewing of our minds, out of that emanates a transformed life.
So what's the difference between thinking, plain old regular thinking, and transformational thinking?
The source of the thinking. In other words, everybody could think. People get up and just start with thoughts coming in their mind. So we have all these thoughts stored up from the time we were children, and they're in this storehouse. I call them the mental sewage system. And there's good stuff, bad stuff, but over years, we just start letting things come up and we start meditating on them and thinking them. But the difference between that kind of thinking and the transformed thinking is the life, the thinker has access to me as a person and to give me inspiration in order for me to make application.
And so when you say source of our thinking, what do you mean by that?
I believe that everything in the universe operates because there is a living, breathing, live presence that makes everything work. For me, it's God. And I'm saying that many people are thinking, and they are thinking without the aid of the thinker behind the thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I open myself I know you do this as well, to allow thoughts to flow in, and I watch the thoughts that want to come in. And if that thought is inconsistent with what I believe, I make every effort to change that thought. Now, to the degree that my mind is transformed, I should have fewer of those thoughts, or when they come up, immediately what's in me that is transformed eliminates the thoughts that I don't want to think. So the source being the source of all things called life.
Okay. So what are some different types of thinking?
Well, you hear people say, you know, I can do positive thinking. I can do creative thinking. I can do logical thinking, and I can do strategic thinking. I sometimes have productive thinking, unproductive thinking, unhealthy thinking. So all of those are different types of thinking. But the thinking that I'm saying that we ought to have is thinking that is inspired thinking. That is, you've had those moments where something, a thought will come to you and it was nowhere on your radar screen.
Yeah.
And immediately what we try to do is, if we don't have a transformed mind, we begin to try to apprehend that inspiration with our rationalization. And we start reasoning about something that was inspired. So what happens to the person who doesn't have the transformed mind, they try to take the thought and build a thought in their own image, or start creating something that's counter to the way they are supposed to operate. So that's what I see. I see that it's that kind of difference that makes us. It's the source. It's the process that makes us who we are and calls us to think the way we think.
So for somebody out there who's listening, who might have been thinking negatively, and they really want to live a transformed life, what would be some prerequisites for transformational thinking?
Well, one of the first things to do is to realize, become aware, keenly aware, of what's coming into your mind. Negative thoughts come and stay because we make room for it. And like attract like. So if you got one negative thought and another negative thought, it's almost like there's a gathering of negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts will overpower us unless we have a renewed mind. And let me just take a moment about a renewed mind.
Okay.
A renewed mind says that at this point, I can think, but I can choose to meditate on anything that's good. I can decide what is good. And the renovation, the example of conscience is this. If you have someone in your audience who cannot slow their thinking down and their mind is constantly going, or when they think about something, oh, woe is me, nothing ever happened to me. And every time they say that, they are reinforcing the belief that nothing ever happens to them. Transformation takes place when I realize I need to be completely aware that I'm not supposed to be caring. That's why he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is good and the acceptable will of God for your life. So the transformation produced that. And if that person is sitting there, first of all, first step is to become aware of your thoughts.
And then, so what would the remainder of that thinking process look like after someone becomes aware of their thoughts? What should they do next?
They should begin to meditate on the things they deliberately want to think. Be intentional about what you want to think.
So when you say meditate, explain, what does that look like? What does that mean?
Meditation, and that's a good point. If I'm saying something and you said, I want to be able to do X, and that's what I'm going to do, you think about that. You look at it. You rehearse it. You sing it. You pray it. You do all of the things. You just go over, and meditation is a form of muttering to yourself over and over again. It's called practice. Mm-hmm. We have to practice a sound mind. We have to practice having the capacity to develop and keep the sound mind and the renewed mind. So you meditate on it. That which you meditate on, you ever heard, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of mm-hmm. your heart be acceptable? The reason that's the case, if it's unacceptable, we become that which is unacceptable in our thinking and in our being.
And so if we have a listener who may have been thinking, I don't have enough, nothing good ever happens to me, they need to meditate on the good that they could experience in their lives.
Exactly right. But I always take this principle. You cannot break a habit. You make a new habit. Mm-hmm. So if someone is always saying that, then give them, let them salute themselves and give themselves a high five because they have produced more of what they've been saying. So they ought to get an A for doing that. And then immediately recognize, I want to change and start thinking in the direction of things that are good for me. And begin to do the same thing, meditate on it, say it over and over again, and with conviction. Now, some people just be muttering things, but you have to have a belief system and a conviction that's strong enough to cause you to believe that whatever you're saying has already happened.
Hmm. I'm going to come back to that. So for someone who's really just kind of like in the flow of the rhythm of negativity and unproductive thinking habits, do they do that a little bit at a time, or do they just start meditating the new truth? And does the new truth replace the old negative habit? How does that work?
Well, let me make this statement first. There was a statement made, and I think it may have been Covey or someone else. It says you can't talk your way out of a problem that you behave yourself into. Hmm. So you cannot immediately just say, I'm going to change my negative thinking. I'm going to change my negative thinking. I'm going to change my negative thinking. You're still giving power to the negative thinking. Take one idea, one concept, like a lady I knew. She put on the wall, this is the place I wanted to live. It may have been 10 years ago, but you had an image of that. That got manifested. You have confidence in that. And over again, one thing at a time. Now, here's the key. You cannot give energy and power to the negative thoughts. You have to see the negative thought and say, what would I, in a real world, what would I like to replace that thought with that can change my life? Forget about the negative thought then and see what you're replacing with it and begin to affirm that with the meditations of your heart and the words of your mouth.
I get that. So if someone, let's just say, desires to lose weight, we'll use that as an example. Instead of thinking about, oh my God, I've got to lose 100 pounds, begin to think on, meditate on, mutter, I love eating healthy, or, I love drinking water. And that eventually, because the focus is on what they want instead of what they don't want.
Exactly right. I'm always saying, if you have a good mental picture, a blueprint of what it would mean to you to have a healthy weight amount, then you begin to say, oh, this way I could walk. I feel comfortable. I feel less stressed. You list all of the benefits of what things would be like if you lost a pound, 50 pounds or 20 pounds. Well, great. That picture is so big that the 1 pound you lose this week is actually affirming all of the pounds you're going to lose. But you can't do it without a strong mental picture of the outcome. I often say, Constance, let me say this. Many people are praying for something, and I ask them what you were praying for. And I say, could you describe for me what your life would look like if your prayer got answered? And they can't answer it. So guess what they're doing? They're just repeating a mantra, but they're not believing that they are receiving. When you believe that you receive, you see the outcome of what your life would be like being healthy after losing the pound. So, yeah, that's.
Well, you know, I want to stay on the mental pictures part, because when you think something, you know, you do have a picture of it. And I know you've taught me so well about living at the end. And one of the first examples you taught me was, you said, well, when I go on a trip, I already see myself coming home, going through the door. So for listeners, how can they change their thinking and then begin to develop that mental picture of what it would feel like for them to have whatever that new thought, transformational thought might be?
Well, let me just say first, I want to make a disclaimer of this. And many of the things that have happened in my life, I didn't see the picture 100% the way it ultimately turned out to be. Mm-hmm. But I saw it well enough down the road to get me to where out to the street I was supposed to turn down. And when I got to that street, mentally speaking, I just knew I'm supposed to turn there. But if I never thought about going and get the first 100 miles, what was I going to do but stay home? So here's the picture. If I say to you, like we used to do, reason they do with this in elementary school, if you go back and look at all of the elementary school and kindergarten books, is there any pictures in the book at all? It's full of pictures.
Right.
Because all the words, they are designed to be associated with a picture. So the child began to put the word with it, the written word and the spoken word with the image. And that's where learning takes place. I'm asking people to do this. Get an image of what it would be like to be what you want to be or to have what you want to have. And you get that image, and that image is formed, and it's like a seed. It's like the seed of the sower. You plant that seed and make sure that it is on good ground. And good ground starts with a renewed mind. And over again, you just speak it. You don't need to try to bring it to pass. You just keep affirming the fact that that picture is true, wholesome, and righteous. And in due time, it'll produce that. The farmer doesn't have to worry about whether the seed is going to burst open. He just has to be responsible for putting it in the ground and making the soil right.
So true. And I have used that principle so many times. And so let's talk about automatic pilot thinking. What is that? Because, I mean, we're inundated with, 200 television stations and just all kind of stuff on the internet. What is automatic pilot thinking?
Let's just take Mr. Jones. Okay. Gets up in the morning. Got a lot of problems going on, don't know what to do. So the moment Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones turn and put their feet on the floor, on the side of the bed, all of the things that they are worried about shows up to be first. And in our efforts to not know that you have to be deliberate about what you allow to come on your mind first. But instead of doing that, they go, leave the bed, go do all of the chores before they get in the car and go to work. And at that moment, by the time they get to work, they probably had thousands and thousands of negative thoughts that come through their mind operating on automatic pilot. It's like an airplane. I used that example once to say the pilot gets the airplane off the ground, turns on the automatic pilot, and the computer knows where it's going, and they just can sit there and watch the instrument. That's what we do with our lives. We automatically give our thoughts over to automatic piloting. And guess what? Every morning that you do it, your mind defaults there without your permission. And when it defaults there by my permission, guess what happened? I begin to become more of everything that I've been thinking.
So it sounds like to me that listeners really need to be intentional about what they're thinking and their thoughts.
No question about it. To be, to not be intentional is to be anything goes.
Yeah.
Anything goes thinking means that anything goes life. So when I decide, I this morning had to make a decision. I had a lot of things to do when I got up. And the moment I got up, immediately I started to try to think through the day. And I heard inside of me, the only thing you have to do is enjoy standing up, realizing that you stood up on your two feet like a human and you didn't fall. You have this powerful balancing mechanism. I went through all of that, affirming the power to just being able to stand. And each thing I do, I'm going to do that in the moment. And before I knew it, I'd done all of the things without any conscious thinking, and it all worked out well.
And you know, I remember, I think it was Dr. Dennis Kimbrough who said that Dr. Martin Luther King would have a cup of coffee in the morning, and then he would practice intentional thinking for 1 hour.
I tell you that. And for the audience, let's just say intentional thinking is when, not when you're trying to solve a problem, you're trying to engage life. Just some intentional thinking is just thinking on one thing. I am a creation of God. I'm filled with joy. I'm looking for joy. He wasn't trying to solve problems. The moment you try to use all of this just to solve problems, we missed the point. We use this to live the abundant life.
And so is intentional thinking like having your hour of power or practice having your quiet time or reading your Bible or reading or meditating? Is that intentional thinking?
Well, let me add to, yes, it is. But at this moment, intentional thinking is any thought that you're going through the day and you catch yourself thinking a thought that you didn't intend to think. Mm-hmm. You say that, I mean, I'll say that thought, you know, I didn't give you permission to go out on your own taking that. It's like the little, like a weather report going down on the bottom of the screen of the television.
Mm-hmm.
And I look down there and they got a warning and they have the picture of the program I'm looking at the top. I could make a decision which one I want to look at by intentionally doing it. And I choose to say, if there's not a warning, I'm going to look at the main picture. But if there is a warning, I choose to not be intentional about watching the football game and be intentional about watching the warning. Mm-hmm. So it is a conscious day by day, as long as you can catch yourself thinking during the course of a day. That's what I stopped to do, not to be still. What have you been thinking for the last hour? Do you realize how much you've been thinking? No, I have. Oh, my goodness. I've been preoccupied with this. And then I go and see a solution or make a decision that I don't need. I didn't want to think about you now. If the thinking was inspirational, it would have stopped me. If it's just normal thinking, I could do it without my mind ever becoming consciously aware that I'm doing it.
Yeah. You know, a great example of that for me in my personal life right now is, you know, my conference is coming up and I called you and I'm like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. You know, it's so many details and so much. And I've had to practice this, you know, what am I thinking? And to really choose my thoughts moment by moment about the conference and about everything that needs to be done. And so you've really helped me with that. So I'm practicing this right now.
Well, and part of that, I know a part of that. The first thing came to me was I could talk to you for 30 minutes about how not to be concerned. I took a method, a little process and say, practice this. And what made it happen was you began to organize your thinking in little boxes.
Yeah.
And then you would gave attention to the box that you want to give attention to, but you realize everything that's going to happen in that conference is on that piece of paper. So during the course of the day, rather than me worrying about it, I'll do it three times a day, go over the list, check off. And that became the thing that made you intentional.
Right. And it really solidified, today I'm going to think about 1, 2, 3.
Absolutely.
And I intentionally thought that. So do you believe that thoughts become things? And if so, how does that work?
Well, that's one of my real things that I like to emphasize. No farmer drops a grain of seed, a grain of corn, into the ground and do it for 10 rows of corn, drop them in there, and then go out 6 months later and be disappointed that he didn't get okra. So every thought that we entertain create and produce after the nature of that thought. The way we are made is that we are made in the image, and the image is the power to create. So we say, well, what do you mean we were made in his image and likeness? Is that, and he created, and he created, and there was creation. So what I ask myself to do is to realize that there's some people in this audience may be having a little bit of a little peptic ulcer in the stomach, and they've been realized, how did that get there? I start worried about this. I start worried about that. And all worry many times manifests itself in that area. So that thought over and over again, and that worry became a hole in the stomach. It became that. So when people want to know whether I'm creating something, that thought is a birth, it went into the birth canal to be meditated on and to talk about. Even when we are worrying, we are working on with the law. We're working for the law of stirring the ground up to grow this negative outcome. We look at something else. We take what's another example? The thoughts of things. Some people have tumors in their head because they've worried so much. Or my favorite one is, how many people right now in the audience is going to the blood pressure cabinet to get their blood pressure medicine when indeed it could be something that's genetic? But a lot of it is a result of worrying and creating pressure. So we become the illness that we've set up by the thinking that we were having, or the worrying, or the big one, the fears. The fears we have will cause us to create more negative things for our life than anything else.
So true. So how important is faith and believing in the transformational thinking process? Because it is a process. So when we think, should we have faith behind that? How does that work?
Well, when we talk about faith, and there are people probably in the audience who really understand faith, and you've practiced faith. I'm going to simplify it and say this way. When you have a belief system, when my parents used to say to me, or my dad said, we're going fishing in the morning, I trusted him so much that I was already fishing before I got to the fishing hole. All night, I couldn't help it. I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. What I was doing is said I'd already received the fishing trip, and I hadn't even gone to sleep yet. Mm-hmm. It was a strong conviction, and I was enjoying the fishing trip long before I got up the next morning. If we were to do the same thing and have a conviction about what we believe to the extent that we are so excited about it, we know what we're going to do, we see it all there, then at that moment we have practiced, we've fallen into a law of believing that you've already received it.
Wow, that law is so powerful. So for a listener who might be in the process of change, so when you say believing that you've received it, sometimes the glaring, bold circumstances of our reality really keep us from really staying aligned with that belief. So how would they do that? How do you believe you receive something with conviction and faith when everything else says you don't have it?
And which is a powerful, all-time powerful question. That's why I don't start all the time with trying to do that without looking to see, do I have a mindset that have enough capacity to be renewed enough to see that happening? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say to someone, see how you would do it if you were telling someone else how to do it. Could you see this happening for someone else? Who could you see this happening for? And they could just build a case. Oh, yeah, I could see that for them. I said, now, the only difference was you allowed the fear that was associated with you to not be able to accept what you saw for them. It's the way it's looking down the road and not in the ditch do you in now. If you never lift up your head and look beyond what's right in front of the car, you'll never get a view of what the whole countryside is like, if I could use that example.
Yeah. You know, sometimes that's easier for me in some areas than others to really turn away from my current reality. I know Dr. Wayne Dyer says, if you think about what was, that's what you're going to get. If you think about what is, you're going to get more of that. But when you can bring into the nowness of your life or change your expectation and bring that into the nowness of your life, then you're really living from the end.
Let me just make a comment about that.
Okay.
I want your audience, along with me, I'm going to be a part of the audience, to know that the principle that we are espousing may not work altogether as rapidly as we can, but I have to focus on the law that says, if I do this, and if I do it, I got to be of repetitive enough about seeing it to realize it may not happen yesterday or tomorrow, but I cannot give up on the principle.
Okay. So should people have faith in the universal laws?
You just said it. All kids have faith. Every child I've met when they saw Superman believed they could jump off the building and fly. Mm-hmm. But we knew something. We knew the law of gravity will make that child come to the ground. I'm saying that for those of us who realize that some of the things we believe about the laws that we're talking about, we just go to a higher law, and that higher law is a law of faith to outweigh the law of doubt about a matter. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that there's some things I'm working on in my life that I expected to happen 2 years ago, and it hadn't happened, but I still rehearse it as an outcome that I'm supposed to have. But guess what? The spirit of doing that helps me to change my worrying status, and that's enough. It gives you an abundant life experience, even if you have not manifested something. You say, well, I can hear somebody say, but he never had the kind of problem I have. The nature of the problem does not change the law.
That's so true. This is so good. So what about our thoughts, authorizing our thoughts by the authority of our words? And what is the correlation between thoughts and words?
Okay. When we authorize something, we're basically saying you have a right. I'm going to say, Constance, if you were going into a building down at one of your famous hotels, and they give you a card, and it was only for the people who are going to go to the floor with the $1,000 suites, and you put that card in there, it authorized you to open that door on the 40th, 5th floor to get off. You authorized. The other person who's going to the 15th floor put their card in, and it doesn't work because they were not authorized. I'm saying I have to be aware that with my thoughts, I have to make my thoughts and the word that I have, I have to authorize them to exist. If I don't authorize them to exist, and here's what I do, I authorize them by the power of the words that I use. Now you said, tell me what are you talking about? we don't realize how powerful words spoken with conviction is. The example that I'm sure you know, I want everybody to hear this example and know that this is a law. When we see a lot of the teachings that Christ was teaching, we think it was just, he was just talking. He was given a law. You remember the time the guy ran up to him, the centurion, and said, my son is sick and he needs to get well. Can you help him? He said, yes. Jesus said, yes, I'll come and go with you. He said, sir, what do you mean you have to go home with me? You don't need to go home with me. I'm a centurion. I'm over a soldier. And I can say to one of them, go do this, and he'll go do it. Or I can tell one to tell another one, and they'll go do it. All you have to do is speak the word. You don't have to come to my house. And Jesus took this thought. I've never seen anybody in the whole of Israel who understood that law like that. So when you authorize your thoughts with a power of a word you speak over it, and you believe it, you can do the same thing that that centurion was saying to Jesus he can do. We just don't believe we can do it yet.
Mm. So someone could begin thinking and saying, I am prosperous now, or I am abundant now, or I have the mind of Christ. Or so if they think that and say that, there's power in that.
And I would like for them to start thinking about, you say, as your soul, you know that thing, say, as your soul prosper?
Mm-hmm.
They talking about your thinking. See, I didn't see that until I realized he said, you know, you think about this as your soul prosper. So when you start making those affirmations and proclamations, you're saying about things. But you said, when I do that, my thinking is different because I'm seeing the possibilities of what could happen to me. And in the meantime, one of the byproducts is my soul start prospering. I start thinking great things about myself, seeing it's going to happen. And it makes me behave different even before the thing I'm asking for come to pass.
You know, that's so true. Sometimes I take my affirmations, or I'm going to say declarations, and I say it out loud. And when it comes out of my mouth, I could just feel the power of the Spirit behind it.
And that's what you just said, that many people are saying things inside of their head.
Yeah.
Faith comes, we always know faith comes by
hearing.
Sometimes we have to say things out of our own mouth so it comes back into our own ear to give us faith to believe what we just said.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there is saying, I want to do that, start talking to yourself out loud about the things that are based on biblical principle or strong principle that you know have truth in them. And then you will begin to see a change in the way you're feeling and in the way you're thinking, which also gives rise to bringing to pass that which you want.
You know, and something that I do is I'll say, God, my gratitude and thanksgiving, thank you that you are increasing me more and more. You know, so I give thanks with my thinking and with my words all at the same time. And that's a form of faith.
Now that's why when I started the program, I was talking about you being a practicing, like you have a practicing doctor, you have a
mm-hmm.
practicing lawyer. You are a practicing person. One of the highest levels of operating to deal with our thoughts is a thoughts of gratitude. Once you still give, that's why they say, if there's anything great, good, think on these things. The act of gratitude of you affirming what you're saying, your whole being begins to get excited and uplifted by this power of being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have done well. And that's what got you out of the ditch and got you out of the parking lot and went home, got well. You're walking around, walking and jogging on that foot. And the relationship certain for you is already manifested. Just walk into it and run into it and believe it.
Mm-hmm. So powerful. Wow. So what are some outcomes for listeners or some results once they begin to practice transformational thinking? What will begin to show up in their lives?
Now, this is one of my favorite parts. When you talk about a lot of things, people are going to say, okay, what's the bottom line?
Yeah.
This is the bottom line. The bottom line is if you have practiced and understand that transformational thinking is this, it's having a new mindset by the Spirit of how you want to approach life and be transformed by renovating mind. Renovating is a tough process. You take some of the old stuff out. Let me just say briefly here. The time it takes to build a new house, most people can build 5 new houses, 10 new houses before you. It may take 3 weeks to build 3 houses. It may take 6 months to renovate an old house.
Right.
I'm saying that it's transforming your mind is a process. It's not an event. But here's the result of that. Once you look at this transformational thinking, you start realizing, you know what? I'm thinking different. My mind, I could feel things that are happening to me just a little bit. And the moment that happened, give thanks for that. That's the first thing, that renewed mind. What about one of the other outcomes? A stressless life.
Ooh, that's real important.
A stressless life. Do you realize that stress is killing us softly if we're not aware of it? So in your being, some people can't be because they're too stressful to be. And when they get ready to do, they're too stressful to do. And then when they try to live, they're too stressful to live. Could you imagine having to be anesthetized or having to be get some kind of drugs to keep me going just to deal with my stress? So one of the outcome or results of that is now, there's a difference between having stress and seeing it and know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I say in one of the other ones would be being directed. Now, I say this and that may be misunderstood, but I believe when I get up in the morning, I'm going to be directed. I just have that philosophy of thinking. Today, I will not be left alone by myself. If I pause long enough, I'll know what I'm supposed to do other than what I have on this piece of paper. So being directed by letting a spirit-led life, and this is not something, some kind of situation where you're having to hum and do a lot of things. It's just being aware of the fact that you're going to be communicated with. The insects and the birds on the wire flies down to the ground, and we wonder, how did he know to do that? And he could have gotten into his reasoning and said, you know what, I don't feel like flying down now. Well, instinct told him to do it because there was something about him made him know that he was supposed to do it. And he gets down and there's an earthworm. If he'd have reasoned himself long enough, he'd say, well, I'll wait later on. He gets down there, the earthworm going back into the ground, and there's no grocery, and there's a hungry bird or a dead bird. I'm saying we ought to be able to be sensitive to the spirit inside of us giving us direction. That's an outcome.
Living in the realm where all things are possible? Because a lot of people are like, man, I've been trying this stuff and nothing has happened. Does a transformed mind put us in that realm or in the rhythm or in the flow of that?
I'm saying that's one of the great benefits. Living in the realm where we believe that all things are possible. Mm. Now, notice what I said, believe. You have to begin to change. Some people have had so many things that have affected them in life, they are having a hard time to believe anything good about themselves. Find one thing where you believe that this could be possible if you believe it. And it's in the believing that transforms it. And I'm thinking, notice the realm. What would it be like if you had no limitations on what you could think or what you could do?
Wow. Amazing.
No limitation on what you could think or what you could do. We put limitation on those based on the mental sewage system that we have let build up. We have mental thoughts that are so dirty and so filthy that backs up into our system that try to overwhelm. And I'm saying, let's just get the Roto-Rooters of the world and clean this thing out. And for us, it's a spirit thought process that says, I can't let this stuff live in me. Mm-hmm. I want to succeed and not just be successful. To succeed at living the abundant life.
Wow. Well, any other results?
Now, this is one that I like to emphasize. There are people in the audience, including me for a while, that have lived my life as someone else other than who I'm supposed to be living as. Mm-hmm. One of the great benefits of living in a transformated life, transformed thinking, living with transformed thinking, is this one thing, and please get this, you become your true self. Now, I'm going to start with that. You say, well, I'm my true self. There are people who will get an Academy Award for their performance. They're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful actor. You played everybody else in your life but yourself. You allowed other people to determine what you ought to be. But a transformed mindset, I don't have to please people. What would it be like if there are people listening to this audience and say, oh, my goodness, I'd like to strip off some of the things I'm doing for other people and just live the life and become their true self. And what does their true self produce? It produces a life of peace, joy, and that kind of life is not a fictional life. It's a real life. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, what would it happen if you knew that you could change and live other than the person you've been living? Now, I want to say to you, I'm going through some of that in my life. And some of the people I'm meeting know me the way they've known me, and they will try to talk with me and engage me based on the way they've known me. And if I'm insecure at all, I will default back to that just to please them. Sometimes you have to change the nature of your relationship with people in order for you to become your true self.
So powerful. Well, you know, this hour went by so quickly, and I've been so engaged, and all of you can see why I'm just so grateful to this great man of God, this gift of God in my life, and you've really helped us today, James Powers.
Well, because I did this, I never come to do anything unless I'm supposed to live it. If I made a decision that I will not live my life teaching something that I was not intimately involved in trying to practice it.
Yeah, and I do the same thing. So in closing, what would you like to say to people all over the world today?
Well, for your audience, first of all, I'm grateful for the person who comes here week after week to bring you the Think and Believe and Manifest show. I'm grateful for Constance Lane Arnold. And I'm grateful for you that you can take another step forward in becoming the person you were designed to be when you were produced in the factory of your mother's womb. And I'm hopeful that from this point forward, you would say, I want to be transformed and I want to have a renewed mind. Just want it. Desire it. And some people don't desire it. That's why they don't have it. My desire would be for you, and my prayer is that you could live intentionally the way you were born to live.
Wow, so powerful. Thank you so much. I love and appreciate you. Thank you so much. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Of course, you can visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And if you want to email me to let me know how this show is impacting, shifting, and or changing your life, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And as I say every week, guess what? God loves you. I love you. And the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.